Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
Hey, welcome back. You've got Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. I'm your host, Ed Holliday. You're listening to us on webtalkradio.net. That's webtalkradio.net, where you can catch other great shows like Newt Gingrich's show. So go there and check out the other shows. And let me tell you, when I played that opening, I thought I heard the sound of rock cracking about as loud as I've ever heard it. I think it's louder this week. Why? Because we've got some primary races right on the corner here coming up next week, and we've got some to talk about what happened last week. And I'm telling you, rock splitting politics is the name of the title of this show, and rocks are splitting and politics are spitting out people left and right, chewing up people as we progress in this great American experiment since the Constitution was put in place back many years ago. 1788, so we've been rock-splitting politics all along, and you have caught the show that puts you right in the place where you need to be to know what's going on. We'll tell you what you need to know. And we'll also tell you some exciting things about not only last week, things are coming up. I will dig into the Mississippi Senate race for the Republican Party because it's gotten nastier. It's gotten worse. People around the country saying this is the worst of the worst in the way nasty campaigns can get. So I'm going to dig down into it because I'm seeing it left and right, knowing some things. So I'll talk about that on the second half of the show. First half of the show, we are going to talk about politics. We're going to talk about what happened last week in Kentucky, in Oregon. And as you know, I endorsed one of the candidates out in Oregon. And I got some wisdom from none other than the new conservative hero, Ben Carson. Dr. Ben Carson talks about Oregon and who he supported and who he will support. And it gives us a lot of wisdom to all our friends across the conservative spectrum who wants to see this nation turned around. A lot of wisdom coming from Dr. Ben Carson. You're going to hear it right here today on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. We're so glad to have you. And by the time I tell you what's going on and tell you what you need to know, some of you may be all fed up. So I am going to do something that is unique. You won't hear it anywhere else because we're going to end the show with a song that yours truly, Doc Holliday, wrote with a good friend of mine, and my good friend recorded it and on some tape. Well, I'm going to play it here. First time ever anybody gets to hear it. We wrote this song on the Mississippi Gulf Coast the first year that Senator Thad Cochran was in the Senate, 1979, and been sitting on this, and we've played it different places. Nobody's already picked it up and wanted to hear it, but you're going to get to hear it, and it puts everything into perspective as all the nastiness of a political campaign comes up, and there's something that'll just set it all back. So we're going to end the show with that song that I co-wrote back many years ago, sung by my good friend, Mr. Steve Glidewell, who helped co-write the song. And that's the way we're going to end up. So end up on a good note to help you know how to go in with a peaceful mind and vote if you're voting in the Mississippi Senate race next week. And those who are across the country don't understand all the politics. They're getting heated up in Mississippi. Go back and listen to our previous shows. And this is a national story hitting the national news around the nation. So we're going to cover it with a bird's eye view going on right here in the state of Mississippi. Before we get to that, let me just kick off the show talking about the Oregon race last week. In Oregon, they start mailing in about 3 weeks before election. You mail in your ballots in the state of Oregon. It's the only state that does that. And people have been mailing in their ballots. And it came down between Republican State Senator Jason Conger. And I'd spoken with Senator Conger, and he was wanting to be elected to the United States Senate. Had great conservative values and credentials, but he was up against Dr. Webby. Now, she's a lady who is newcomer to politics, and you've heard me on this show. I said it would be good and refreshing to have somebody not involved in politics to walk into the United States Senate. I've mentioned that over the last couple years. So her credentials are strong about medicine because she is a pediatric neurosurgeon, much like Dr. Ben Carson in a way. And so Dr. Ben Carson had some comments on her and why he is supporting her. And here I didn't support her in the Republican primary, but she has won. And now, since she has won, she will be up against Senator Merkley, a Democrat from Oregon who's only served one term. So it's a good time to make a change in Oregon. Our Oregon listeners, I hope you get plugged in. Tea Party, conservative people across the country. This is where it's very important to make sure we can change a Democratic senator into a Republican senator. It's very important to keep Harry Reid from being the head of the Senate and making sure that only his legislation gets voted on. It's pathetic. We talked about how he brought out the nuclear plan. Going nuclear, do something the Senate's never done before. Republicans talked about doing it, and it was going to be bloody murder all over the nation. And the news media back when the Republicans had control just made it sound like the whole Senate come crashing down if that happened. But guess what? The Democrats do it, and they back off, and we haven't heard anything about it since they did it. And now they can't filibuster a federal judge when trying to get through confirmation. Very important for the liberals to get that power. It makes it even more important for the next 2 years who controls the Senate. So that's why we look at the state of Oregon. I'm not going to go into the race. Dr. Webby won. She put in 3 to 4 times the amount of money than the next challenger, who was Jason Conger. And like I said, he didn't win. And we wish him the best success as he continues his political career. But as Dr. Webby is now the Republican nominee, let me tell you something about what Dr. Ben Carson said. Dr. Ben Carson wrote an article about a week ago, and he was talking about going back to and just what Ronald Reagan did. Going back, he said, if I can agree with somebody 80% of the time, why would I not want them in position of power over a Democrat who I may disagree with 90% of the time? You might only agree with a Democrat, liberal, 10 to 20% of the time, but some people are fighting and not supporting somebody just because of their stance. And the difference in his stance is Dr. Webby is not pro-life. She says she is personally, much like that's what Senator John Kerry, our Secretary of State now, would always say, that personally he was against abortion, but he wasn't going to force it on anybody. And he didn't feel like it was the government's position. That's what Dr. Webby takes, that position. And she's also very cold on traditional marriage. The same-sex marriage doesn't seem to bother her. And so these are things they feel like Oregon, being a more liberal state, she would be likely to get more voters than Jason Conyers would. So that's what Ben Carson, basically the bottom line in a nutshell, he said, if I can agree with somebody like Dr. Webby, 80% of what she stands for, he's not going to let that other 20% get in the way. And those are the things that build coalitions, that build a winning attitude that can really take this nation in another course. And this is the part that we've tried to explain coming up about the Tea Party. Well, we've talked about Oregon for a minute. Let me just tell you about what happened in Kentucky. Mitch McConnell, very much an establishment Republican. He's the minority leader in the United States Senate. And if he wins his reelection bid, and if the Republicans win enough seats, he would be the majority leader. Some people shudder at that. My question is, would you rather have Mitch McConnell or Harry Reid? And some people say it doesn't matter, that all the establishment. That is baloney. It's balderdash. I know we may not get everything we'd want out of Mitch McConnell, but we can't get anything out of Harry Reid. We can't get anything for conservative Americans out of Harry Reid. And we'll get many more liberal judges. They will have no way to check the liberal judges that President Obama wants to force into our federal judicial system that will be there for lifetimes. So do you not think it's important to have Mitch McConnell in the Senate majority chair rather than Harry Reid when he dictates what legislation will be voted on in the United States Senate? And I've heard some people in the Tea Party movement and some conservatives say, I don't give a rip, they're all the same. But that is balderdash. Talking about balderdash, that's what Mitch McConnell said he was going to crush his opponent, and that was Matt Bevin. He's a businessman and challenged Mitch McConnell with a lot of money from the Tea Party groups and a lot of energy, and people went in Kentucky. But it wasn't close. It wasn't close, folks. And I just have to tell you that they scored, I guess, a win in a way to say, well, we stood up and we'll push McConnell to the right. And maybe they do push him to the right. Maybe they just tick him off. But I know this. When people tell me it doesn't make a difference if it's Harry Reid or Mitch McConnell, I want to know if they've been in Colorado smoking some legal dope. Because that is a crazy attitude. Absolutely crazy attitude. You may not get what you want, but if you try sometime, you just might find you get what you need. Mick Jagger's words of wisdom. That's go back and listen to the Rolling Stones.
Always get what you want. You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want. But if you try sometimes, you might find you get what you need.
All right, Mick Jagger, thank you for reminding us about sometimes you just might find you get what you need. You can't always get what we want, especially when it comes to politics. And Doc Holliday is here to remind you, if you work for the conservative cause, if you want to see this nation turn around, you may not get who you want. I wanted Jason Conger to win Oregon Republican primary. He did not win. And Jason, keep working hard. We believe in you, brother. But out there in Oregon, everybody needs to get Dr. Webby elected in November to get Senator Merkley out of Oregon. Get that Democrat out, and let's try to get some more Republicans in to turn the Senate around. Oregon would be a huge win. It is an upscale battle, an uphill battle. It will be hard. Right now, start working if you can, if you live anywhere near Oregon. And people in Oregon, please, even though I don't agree with Dr. Webby's position on some of these things, I know, like Dr. Ben Carson said, you got to start with the people that you can agree with 80% of the time on. And get them in an office. Get them elected. Then work on them. Do what you want. Try to get them to change their position on the things you want. But get them in office and get the liberal skunks out. Now, saying that, we were talking about Mitch McConnell and his big win over a Tea Party back, Matt Bevin. And I have to tell you that it's going right along with what I talked about a week ago, that I believe this election and this election cycle is helping us to mature, and those who want to see this nation turned around, we must have some coalition building. That means you may not get everything you want in every candidate. Now, that is going to lead us right in to the second half of the show, when I'm going to talk about what's happening in Mississippi politics in the Senate race between the Republicans, Republican incumbent Thad Cochran, and the challenger, State Senator Chris McDaniel. And it's gotten to be a nasty campaign. And many of, it's not me saying this, many longtime political observers in Mississippi are saying this is the nastiest campaign they've ever seen. There's never been a Republican primary that had millions of dollars pumped into it. Very few campaigns have ever had millions of dollars pumped into it, statewide campaigns in Mississippi. But I don't ever remember a Republican primary even getting close to having millions. And millions are being spent on both sides in a state with, that's not an expensive state to run in statewide. So the eyes of the nation are looking on, and I'm going to go into what's going on this past week. Just confounds everybody's imagination when it comes to politics and how low and how dirty some things can go. And I'll tell you about that right after this, when I remind you, you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right here on webtalkradio.net. Many of you have been to our Facebook page. Many of you haven't. But go on the Facebook page, like us. There's some things happening that I can't put on the show every week, and especially with the updates and what's going on in the Senate election, not only in Mississippi, but other places. So please go there and check out our Facebook page, Rock Splitting Politics. And like I've said before, we are more than just a show, an internet radio show. We're more than just a podcast. It is a book. And the book is called Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo. And in that book, I detail some of the things happening with the status quo and the establishment. And this was back a couple years ago. And I was hoping beyond hope that we could get this administration out of power and get some people of common sense into the White House and the executive branch of the office of our government. It did not happen. And like many people, I was depressed. I was in a state of depression for a month or two, realizing what the odds are of my children growing up in a nation of freedom, and we see our freedoms being curtailed left and right, from the freedom of speech, where people who do nothing more than give to a political decision are being ousted from CEO positions. We see people who are being ousted from companies just trying to practice their right to free speech. America is dying because the First Amendment is dying. America is dying because the Second Amendment, to protect our right to keep and bear arms that should not be infringed upon, it's dying. Go back to last week's show and see what's happening by the Department of Justice when we had Bill Frady on, and he opened up our eyes and ears to what's going on through the Department of Justice and the FDIC and some of the government departments, showing how they are trying to get cut down on our Second Amendment rights. So I'm telling you that as freedom is diminished, we have got to wake up, and we've got to see what we can do as conservatives building coalitions. And that's why I put that book out, and a lot of people are going to look at it and say, well, what's changed since the book? Well, we have grown and matured through the presidential election of 2012. Now we are in the primaries of 2014, and after the final vote is casted in November and we get them all counted, I think we will have to see how the movement to save America through conservatism will have to reevaluate some things. Why can we win midterms and can't win the election, win the presidential ballot? And if we don't get the executive branch in 2016, some people will say we hang it up. We maybe have to hang it up. But how many elections can we lose before we find a conservative candidate that America can get behind? We've had too many compromises with the McCain and Romney, and it's time to get one we can get behind. So very important to be listening to what's going on. Now, let me start out the second half of the show with a little music to get us started.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Well, you say you want a revolution. Well, you know we all want to change the world. And that could sum up what's going on in the battle between Senator Thad Cochran, and State Senator Chris McDaniel. The campaign has gotten nasty. It's taken turns that no one would have ever expected. No one would even have a clue what went on last week. And I told you a couple of weeks ago, Doc Holliday got caught up in the crosshairs and made ruffles and feathers, I guess. And if you want to go back and listen to last week's show, and I explained my position and what's happening on that. But my name dropped out of news cycle real quick because just a week and a half ago, what happened? Well, there was an arrest made. And an arrest made because a conservative blogger, had gone in and he photographed the wife of Thad Cochran, who's in a nursing facility. She's in a state of dementia and has been for many years. It's been a known fact. And Senator Cochran's wife, Rose Cochran, I know many of the family and know people who went to school with her. And she's from my neck of the woods, they'd say, here in Mississippi. And wonderful family that she, her family in New Albany, where she's from, in North Mississippi, not far from where this show was done, Tupelo, Mississippi. And I grew up in a little town called Ripley, Mississippi. And there's people who know everyone. And in fact, Senator Thad Cochran, he's one of the few people. I lived the first 3 years of my life in a little town called Cleblet, Mississippi. And he laughed because he used to live when his mom and dad were teachers. They lived a while in Walnut, Mississippi, and where he grew up. And so there's a lot of connections to a lot of the family. And Rose Cochran, it's a sad situation, but she's in a state of dementia and has been for over 10 years. But someone got into the nursing home facility where she was, and they took a photograph or video of her. And this conservative blogger who allegedly did this, he posted on a website a video. Is several minutes long, and this wasn't a long part of it. It's just a part of, because he was anti-Cochran, and everybody thought it was a loose cannon. Somebody, what happened? But now, the day we're taping this show, there's been three more arrests of a conspiracy. And nothing has been shown any connection to the McDaniel campaign. And I don't think anybody would be that low running a campaign. And there's, I am not saying anything, because we know the McDaniel campaign, the district attorney said it looks like there's had nothing to do with it. And I couldn't believe anyone would stoop so low. But there have been people arrested. And we don't know when things are going to go to trial, what to come out. But what happened was, the day the arrest happened, they were the McDaniel campaign challenging the senator. The McDaniel campaign came out and said the act was reprehensible. But they came out with two or three statements making the Cochran campaign wonder when they knew the information and how did they know it. And did they know about it and sit on it for 3 weeks? But that's when the video had come out about 3 weeks ago, and before this man was arrested. And people said, well, why did he take it down? Well, he got some phone calls to take it down. Who called to make it to ask him to take it down. And that's what gets blurry and foggy, and it's getting the whole campaign off of what's important, the issues. And that's where this campaign has gotten stranger and stranger, as one accusation flies and then another. And one article was written that the McDaniel campaign was like the Keystone Cops, because they keep coming out with a little bit of a different story. And then finally, State Senator McDaniel says he was not going to talk about it anymore. He had an open letter to Senator Thad Cochran, and pretty much saying he wasn't going to talk about this issue anymore, because he had to stick to the issues, and he wouldn't talk about it until Senator Cochran came and debated him. Now, the Cochran camp is taking these things and pressing on it, and even putting an ad out about the arrest of Rose Cochran, someone having a photograph of Rose Cochran and allegedly doing this. So the whole mix of the Mississippi Senate race has turned into a sad debacle where the issues aren't being talked about. And then one of the people arrested was used to be a member of Tea Party, the Central Tea Party of Mississippi, and used to be on the board. Some people said he was on the board, reported that he was on the board, but he surely was a part of it for a long time. And he was one of the individuals arrested allegedly for being a part of conspiracy. Now, what that is and why he's arrested as a taping, we don't know. Now, what will this affect in the race for the state of Mississippi? Well, there are ads going out everywhere. And what is happening now, there's an article written calling the Mississippi Republican race for U.S. Senate, the primary, was the last stand for the Tea Party. They've not beaten an incumbent in this whole election primary cycle. So they're doubling down, and we are seeing millions of dollars spent in a small state like Mississippi. We got different markets and ad markets, but they're small markets, and so they're not very costly, and millions of dollars have poured into Mississippi from both sides. And it is an amazing thing to see, but what's happening has gotten sad because of the type of ads. They're negative and going at each other. And the campaign staff's going at each other. There's one campaign where State Senator McDaniel spoke, and then a member of the Cochran campaign called him a liar during the press conference. So it has been anything but a usual gentleman-type campaign between these two rivals. And like I said, the Tea Party, there's an article written, it was the Tea Party's last stand. Now, I don't believe that. The Tea Party's going to be around. But what is going to happen, what I talked about in last week's show, after this primary, if McDaniel doesn't win, there will have to be a review. And even if he does win, there has to be a review of how the Tea Party and the Tea Party groups back candidates that are they want to call rhinos, and they don't, again, going back, people don't agree with them on some of their votes. Sometimes a lot of them. But what does it take to beat an establishment? Mitch McConnell just trampled Matt Bevin, even though he had a lot of support coming in from people from out of state to help him out. And Mississippi can be a bellwether of about what direction the conservative movement needs to go. Do you go against incumbents just because you don't agree with the way they vote? Or do you look at all the open seats, especially those who have liberals and Democrats in them, and say, what does it take to get this Democrat out of office? What does it take? Does it take a lot of money? Does it take time and energy? And can you beat an entrenched Democrat? Is it better to put more money into that than it is into defeating an incumbent Republican? A lot to talk about. A lot to see. And all I can say is, for my Mississippi listeners, make sure you go vote. Doc Holliday is not endorsing a candidate, but I am telling you and communicating and educating you to the facts that are on the ground. And this is what I want to leave you with. The big picture is, for all our listeners, the big picture across this nation, make sure whatever you have to do, whatever state you need to go to that's nearby, Harry Reid does not need to be the majority leader. That means we have to have more Republicans in the United States Senate than we do Democrats as November ends. There'll be one vote in December in the state of Louisiana, which could decide it all. Don't let it be close. Get every Democrat that's on the edge, get them out. And let's get some conservative, even if it's not as conservative as we want, it's much better than Harry Reid. That's the big picture. Who can do that best? Mississippi's Senate race, even though the whole nation is looking at it, it's the little picture. It's the little picture. So let me just end the show by saying, please go vote. And one of the things that all the money pouring into Mississippi, people are getting sick of politics in Mississippi. But the thing is, most of the time, Republican primary would be a lazy election, and whoever could get the most supporters out to vote could win the election. And I really thought McDaniel had a very good chance of being more enthusiastic and getting the voters out. But for all the money pouring in from both sides, but especially even the Tea Party side pouring in, people are aware of the election. And the bigger the turnout, the more likely it will help Thad Cochran. That's just because getting the turnout will be big. So it's interesting, and we will see. June the 3rd is the primary date. And I've covered this because our Mississippi listeners need to know some things that are going on. And again, email me. Give me your questions, your answers. But I do want you to plan to get in the Republican primary and vote. Now, my Democratic friends who may be listening to the show, get out there and vote too. There's a race in the Democratic field. So between Bill Marcy and former Congressman Travis Childers, vying for the Democratic nomination. And many of my listeners know Bill Marcy, and he's African-American, trying to be the first African-American that gets elected to the United States Senate from Mississippi since Reconstruction days. For those who don't know, history buffs, Hiram Revels was the first African-American, and he's from Mississippi, the first ever to serve in Congress, in the House or the Senate. But he's a United States Senator right after the Civil War. So Bill Marcy is trying to be the first African-American in Mississippi to be elected to the United States Senate since then. And he's running as a Democrat against ex-Congressman Travis Childress. So interesting times in Mississippi. Glad you're listening to us. Around the country, we'll have more news next week of what's going on and where we're going. And I want everyone in the country to know it's very important to get out and vote. Very important now to make sure you do what it takes to make sure Harry Reid and the Democrats do not control the United States Senate after Election Day in November. Be working on it. Think on it. Put your thinking caps on. Put your boots on to get out and walk and talk and greet and meet. And let's get this nation turned around. It's the beginning point right here. Right now, you're listening to us on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. And for all the nasty ads, for all the political fog of war, take a listen to this song. Relax. Go vote. This song is entitled simply Biloxi Breeze.
Sitting under the trees, put in my mind to ease, letting my Biloxi breeze blow it all the way. Problems on my mind, troubles all the time. Fight to get ahead just to find myself back behind. Down on my luck, might as well give up. It doesn't look like I'll ever drink from that silver cup. But I'm still sitting under the trees and putting my mind to ease, and letting the Biloxi breeze blow it all away. Heartaches come on strong. It seems like I'm always wrong, and all I got left are my dreams and a song. Taking it day by day, trying to find a way. I owe my debts and now it's but I'm still sitting under the trees, putting my mind to ease, letting my Biloxi breeze blow it out away. Letting my Biloxi breeze blow it out away.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.